My shoes swish through the hot, dry grass, and sweat trickles beneath my clothes, down my chest, my back. I'm moving again, seeking shade as the sun settles lower and the slanted light shifts. Every time I escape the glare, it finds me again. The walled-in center of the Harvard campus, a maze with its greens and lawns, its quadrangles and courtyards connected by paths and walkways. The stately brick and stone buildings, draped in ivy, live up to the stereotype. And I remember what I felt when I was given a tour at the age of 15. It's as if I'm back in time with every step I take, sweetly, sadly. It was on one of my few trips outside of Florida during my senior year in high school when I began exploring colleges and what I might amount to in life. I'll never forget walking exactly where I am now and experiencing a limbic rush at the same time I was self-conscious and out of place. The memory is interrupted when I'm startled by a vibration, what feels and sounds like a large insect buzzing. I stop walking on the piping hot sidewalk, looking around, noticing a drone flying high over the yard. Then I realize the buzzing is my own phone muffled by my suit jacket pocket, where it's tucked away from the heat and sun. I check to see who's calling. It's Cambridge police investigator Pete Marino, and I answer. "Is there something going on that I don't know about?" he says right off, and the connection is pretty bad. "I don't think so," I puzzle as I bake on the bricks. "Why are you walking? Nobody should be out walking in this shit." He's curt and sounds irritated, and I'm instantly alerted this isn't a friendly call. "So what the hell got into you?" "Errands." I feel on guard, and his tone is annoying. "And I'm walking to meet Benton." "Meeting him for what reason?" Marino asks, as our cellular connection continues to deteriorate from good to spotty, back to okay, and then fractured before it's better again. "The reason I'm meeting my husband is to eat dinner," I reply with a trace of irony, "and I don't want a tense time with yet another person today. Is everything all right?" "Maybe you should be the one telling me that." His big voice suddenly booms painfully in my right ear. "How come you're not with Bryce?" My chatterbox chief of staff must have informed Marino about my refusing to get back into the car at Harvard Square, about my violation of protocol and reckless disregard for safety. Before I can answer, Marino begins confronting me as if I'm a suspect in a crime. "You got out of the car about an hour and a half ago, were inside the coupe for maybe 20 minutes, he's saying. "And when you finally exited the store on Mass Ave, where'd you go?" "I had an errand on Arrow Street." The sidewalks in the yard form a brick spiderweb, and I find myself constantly making adjustments, taking the most efficient path, the quickest and coolest. "What errand?" he asks, as if it's any of his business. "At the Loeb Center, picking up tickets for Waitress, the Sarah Bareilles musical," I reply with forced civility that's beginning to waver. "I thought Dorothy might like to go."
"From what I hear, you are acting as squirrely as a shithouse rat."
"Excuse me?" I stop walking.
"That's the way it's been described."
"By whom? Bryce?"
"Nope. We got a 911 call about you," Marino says,
and I'm stunned. He informs me that his police department was contacted about a young guy and his older lady friend arguing in Harvard Square about 4:45 p.m. This young guy was described as in his late 20s with sandy brown hair, blue capri pants, a white t-shirt, sneakers, designer sunglasses, and a tattoo of a marijuana leaf. The tattoo isn't right, but the rest of it is. Supposedly, the concerned citizen who called the police recognized me from the news, and it's disturbing that my clothing description is accurate.